mama, I've been dreaming of the day you brought me down from above in that old tree where I climbed to be alone and away from the world below. My feet were bare upon the bark so rough, I didn't seem to care. My skin was tough in that old tree where I climbed to be alone and away from the world below. You came and found me as the sun did set. I hadn't thought about night just yet, and I did it. Well, I didn't see your concern for me to be alone and away from the world below. I've been dreaming of the day you brought me down from above in that old tree where I climbed to be alone and away from the world below.
It is time for Talking Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am Taya J, joined today in the studio by singer-songwriter Alex Dunn. Thanks for being here, Alex.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you. I feel like you and I share some really common places. You were born in Colorado, lived on the Colorado-Wyoming border. You moved out to Seattle, spent some time out there, so did I. And now you're in New Mexico. Do you feel like there is a kinship between those places? Do you feel like they're very different geographically, but do you feel like there's a shared kinship?
Yeah, I do, especially between, you know, like northern Colorado and the Seattle area, the Pacific Northwest. There's a similar kinship. Where I'm living now is kind of the antithesis of Seattle, you know, entirely. It's dry desert and it's rural, so it's everything Seattle isn't. But for me, I still have a kinship to both, yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes we need different things from places at different times. For me, I was born here in Colorado, moved to New Mexico, and then we moved out to an island off the coast of Seattle. And I remember that distinction between the sort of almost harshness of the New Mexico landscape, that dry desert, the aridness, which can be beautiful and can be inspiring, but that to the sort of lush green landscape of the Northwest was just like shocking to the system. It was like this sort of welcoming feminine just total shift in perspective.
Yeah. Then it's nice to see the other side and get shocked the other way.
Yeah. I think it's healthy for us not to get complacent.
Yeah.
You spent some time working as a fisherman up in Alaska.
I did, yeah. I spent about 11 seasons up there. Yeah, 11 seasons exactly doing salmon fishing southeast.
How'd you end up doing that?
I ended up doing that because I went to college in Tacoma and I got a liberal arts degree and with a focus in sculpture. So I had no idea how I was going to make money, and then I had some friends that were in a band of mine, and one of my buddy's brothers was a commercial fisherman, so I started talking to him, and I was like, wow, you could make some money, you know, over a small chunk of time, and then take the rest of the time off, and then all of a sudden I started living seasonally, you know, for most of my 20s and early 30s.
What was your relationship to music and to songwriting during that time?
That's where it actually all came from, because I've been playing bass and, like, playing in funk bands and playing in various other kinds of bands. And then once I started fishing, you know, it's hard to just bring the electric bass along and hang out alone on a fishing boat. And then I got a guitar and started strumming, and, you know, I'd take off on the kayak and go to a little island in the middle of nowhere and sit on the beach and strum and think.
Do you make a distinction between poetry and songwriting? Do you feel like the two feed one another, or do you feel like they're separate processes?
For me personally, I think, like, especially doing what I'm doing here with the acoustic and whatnot, it's kind of, for me, it's very intertwined. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's definitely how I approach it. You know, I'm less of a musician and more of a poet, I guess.
Mm-hmm. A poet with a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of the age old. I mean, that's the troubadour in my mind, right? Yeah. The poet with the guitar. Yeah. And there's something accessible about music that isn't always accessible to people about poetry, even though they're very similar. You hear a guitar and it's welcoming in a way that poetry isn't always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Will you play something else for us?
Sure. I guess on that note, I'll do a nautical song, a song about a fishing boat, first fishing boat I ever worked on up in Alaska. And it was a beautiful wood boat built in 1949. I was on there for 4 years. And then sadly, a couple years back, they sunk it. They were on their way back through the Inland Passage and they got caught in a storm and they were having engine trouble. And then they just took a wave sideways and it rolled right over. Mm. And they were all floating out there in the water and got picked up by another boat. And they all made it, so I wrote a song that's an ode to that experience of living on that boat. It's called Southern Star. Laying in the dark, my boat sailing rough upon the ocean. I'm looking for my southern star to guide me home. My head grows heavy, my tired bones are begging, please. Oh, let's get some rest and let the night blow through. When I finally fall asleep, let go of this turbulent water and let the sound of creaking wood guide me through. I will dream of all good things, my heart running wild, the whole damn world. All my home. I get tossed, I get turned, the beauty of sleeping in the ocean. Well, these waves, they pick me up and put me down. And my heart is pounding, gentle thunder from the heavens.
will dream of all good things. My heart running wild, the whole damn world. To call my home.
Southern Star from Alex Dunn. Alex joining me in the studio today. Southern Star is also the title of your sophomore album. Yep. Your first was titled Scattered Poems. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like? Do you feel like the two albums are in dialogue with each other?
I think they are. Yeah, it's hard not to be. A lot of the songs on the second album were written, you know, not necessarily in, like, it wasn't like a concept album. So it's like I had a whole batch of songs that had been rolling around for a while. And so everything's kind of all intertwined, for sure.
How does it feel when you have a whole bunch of songs that have been rolling around for a while? How does it feel to put them out? Is there a sense of sort of closure? Is there a sense of, you know, them being able to take on a new life now that they're out in the world and interacting with audiences and people and listeners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there certainly are. Kind of the meaning, too, becomes broader, you know, and more relatable to others, I think. For myself, sometimes it's like I'll write something that's really intimate and then I'll wonder if it's kind of like a lie maybe later because, you know, life has changed and things are different. And then I realize that if people are connecting with it, it's actually maybe it's not just for me in that specific memory. It's for me in relation to others and for others to hold on their own, you know.
Why songwriting? Why does that feel like it resonates for you right now?
I think it's just a way for me to capture like a little snapshot of like all the beauty that I see out there, you know, and to keep carrying it along, you know. I haven't done my visual art in a while. It's, you know, it's hard to focus on both, especially when we were talking about having so many hats once you get into this game. So, you know, I'd like to get back into painting and doing stuff like that, but right now this is what I'm doing. I just love it, you know. Love sharing space with people. I think that's the beautiful thing about it, is getting to be in a space, and no matter where you are, no matter how small or big the crowd, or if they're all drinking and not listening but trying to listen, or if they're all just sitting down in quiet listening space, you know, no matter what, you're sharing this moment, you know, where everything just kind of stops and all the phones are down and all the media is silent, and that's the beautiful thing about it.
Mm-hmm. 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 And we need that. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, that being a musician is so much more complicated than just being a musician. There's so many other parts and pieces. Will you talk about that process mm-hmm. a little bit? I think that's something we don't always realize.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily realize it either once I really started pushing and putting out albums and, you know, getting out there. But yeah, it's like all of a sudden you're a merchandise designer and you're a marketer. And then all of a sudden you're learning the code for your website, and then you're a booking agent, and then, wow, it just, you know, it's interesting to learn all those different tricks. I wish it didn't have to be that way. It'd be nice to focus more on writing the poetry.
Yeah, I wonder how it informs the art. I wonder if there's a tension there that informs the work.
Yeah, there certainly is, because, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of deep troughs and really high crests, you know. So it certainly does at times put me in a, you know, I feel like I'm walking backwards or something, you know, creatively.
What about when you're touring? How do you tend to yourself? How do you take care of yourself when you're out on the road?
Well, I got my little dog, Louise. She's a good way to keep me active because, you know, got to take her on walks and make sure she's tended to, mm-hmm. which is good for myself. And, you know, I bring my yoga mat and try to do a little yoga in the park, that kind of thing. Eat well, try and get rest. Try not to drink too much, even though everyone tries to pay you in beer. You know.
I want to talk about Aztec New Mexico a little mm-hmm. bit. I want to talk about, you know, I think New Mexico has this sort of iconic reputation for being really inspiring for creatives. Something about the landscape. We were talking about that sort of harshness, the tension, the space. How have you found that it's informing you, or have you found that it's informing you to make your home in New Mexico?
Yeah, I really love what it's doing for me creatively, honestly, because it's allowed me to just sit with stillness. And there's a little canyon up from our house. We go underneath through a culvert underneath Highway 550, and then you end up going up this little slot canyon. There's no one ever up there, it's just ours, because no one knows how to get to it. And it's, you know, some BLM land and some fracking land, and just kind of wander around up in these canyons. And even at my home, there's just a lot of stillness, a lot of big open space to look at. And that is very inspiring to me. And to just sit with this earth that is so much older than our country, than our, you know, like there's a juniper tree up in this culvert that's probably 600 years old or something. You know, it's like that tree was still being a tree before Columbus ever showed up. And
juniper trees are amazing. Yeah. They're like prehistoric to me. They feel like they just take me back to a whole other time. I think there's something interesting about stillness. I'm reading a book right now called Going to Seed, which is all about idleness and, you know, the ways that we sort of think of idleness in our dominant culture and the way that we think of work and how much emphasis we put on the need to work and the need to be busy and the need to be contributing and moving all the time. And she sort of begs the question of what would happen if we just occupy the stillness, you know, as creatives, as individuals, how does it make us better community members? How does it make us kinder to other species on this planet? You know, the juniper trees, the animals. And it's interesting because I think we have a lot of discomfort culturally with stillness and with taking time and with not doing.
Yeah, we don't like to contemplate things that are bigger than us because it's not marketable, you know.
I also think there's a fear of what might happen in that time that you're just like sitting, you know, like what might happen if you actually allow yourself to slow down.
Yeah.
And yet it's so important as a creative, right? Because that's where so much comes from. I mean, the ability to just like sit with emotions or reflect.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of songwriters I know, they can't just necessarily just sit down and just, boom, make the song happen. You need time to do nothing, you know. You need several hours in the day to just wait and see if it will come or to just sit and contemplate, you know, and let your mind quiet all the other stuff that doesn't necessarily matter, that it's all wrapped up in.
Yeah.
You know.
Will you play something else for us?
Sure. If only you had words to describe how you feel. But you feel so much, and who knows what's real, and you wouldn't say much. Your words are in your touch. Will they ever be the same? And will they tell us how not to go insane? For I wanna go out and
dance with you again.
you spend time thinking about your sort of, you know, I know musicians don't love to be categorized or put in a genre. You know, I think it can mm-hmm. be really limiting. I think you fall in that sort of, you know, folk Americana mm-hmm. realm, it seems like. Do you think about where your music fits in that landscape? Do you think about sort of what your contribution is to folk music? I mean, folk music has such deep roots, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think folk musicians historically have been people who have, you know, spoken up against injustice, people who have allowed us as listeners the space to kind of connect to our hearts and connect to what's true and honest. I think it has an interesting history, and I'm curious to see how that kind of changes and evolves. And I'm wondering if you, this is a really roundabout question, I'm wondering how you see yourself fitting into that landscape.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I have a varied amount of influences of all kinds of different genres. And then it naturally comes out folky. I remember watching a documentary about Wilco when they were first getting their career back together and whatnot. But Jeff Tweedy was pitching songs to the band, and he's like, it's funny when you're just playing it on guitar because it's a folk song, because it's just a guy and a guitar. He's like, but in my head, you know, it's, I got all the parts, you know, it's a big band thing. It's a big rock song. It's something, you know. But I've spent so much time alone, you know, traveling and doing things, bobbing up and down out in the ocean on boats and stuff, that it naturally comes out folk. And then because of, you know, my surroundings and everything, it's a little more country. And the intriguing thing about that is, you know, I play a lot of places and I'm often not country enough, or I'm too country.
Interesting. It's a fine line, huh?
Yeah, because I'm not like blatantly country, you know, but I have a lot of country influences and grew up in southern Wyoming too, you know, in northern Colorado, and we used to have horses when I was a little kid, and, you know, so I don't know, it's interesting to know. And I'm not necessarily a political folk writer, you know, I'm more of an observationalist mm-hmm. who's just, you know, thinking about love and thinking about flowers and ocean waves and things like that, you know.
Which we need. Yeah. We need that. What you were mentioning about Wilco just kind of reminded me, the second album has you play with a band, mm-hmm. but you're touring solo right mm-hmm. now. Is there yeah. a distinction for you when you play with the band versus when you're playing on your own?
Oh, yeah. I love playing with the band. There's no other greater feeling musically for me. I think it's really good practice to be alone and do that. And it's also interesting to see what the songs end up doing. And it's nice to strip things down. But with the band, it's just, there's something about the energy of connecting with multiple people and then also having drums and bass and just really being able to get it going and get people dancing and, you know.
Something about that collaborative, mm-hmm. like the spontaneity and the collaboration when you're on stage with other folks seems really exciting to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's a part of myself that I don't really get to experience if I'm not doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are you working on right now, Alex?
I got an EP in October, and then hopefully get into the studio this winter. Got a lot of songs I need to get down so I can move along.
Let them go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you hope people experience when they hear your songs?
A sense of place, I guess, you know. A sense of community and a sense of someone who's sharing themselves with them, you know. I want people to just stop for a second, stop looking at screens that are on the wall of the establishment, you know, and stop looking at their tiny screens in their hands and just understand that it's good to be here. So, you know, despite all the chaos and all that mm-hmm. stuff that's going on, it's good to be alive, purely, you know. That's what I love about where I'm living, is just hanging out with animals and, you know, seeing them just be animals and seeing plants grow and just realizing that there's just a beauty that's out there, you know.
I think there's something unique about getting to know a landscape mm-hmm. really well, seeing it through seasons, seeing it through its cycles, is there's a familiarity with the more nuanced, the more subtle aspects of what changes and shifts about mm-hmm. a landscape and what stays the same and the way things migrate through and the way things change. Is, mm-hmm. Yeah, it always feels like a special thing. It feels like a privilege to get to know a place in an intimate way like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Alex Dunn joining me live on Talkin' Music right here on your Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. We're going to go out on Alex's most recent single, Never Felt So Alive. For more Talkin' Music programming, you can tune in on our website, kvnf.org, or on the KVNF mobile app. We'll be back next week. I'm your host, Taya J. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Go out swimming in the lake at night. Mountain sky so big and bright. Moon up above seems to call your name. Water's cold, but the air is warm. Summer's rolling right along. You could swear you never felt so alive. You never felt so alive. Thinking back on the times you had, you don't have any regrets. It's been a beautiful trip. Sun falls sooner day by day. That's okay, it's always been that way. You could swear you never felt so. Never felt so alive.